Hi, this is Patti LuPone.
This is Allison Janney.
This is Matt Ballmer.
This is Donna Murphy.
This is Nia Vardalos.
This is Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
This is Beanie Feldstein.
I'm Octavia Spencer.
This is Ben Platt, and you're listening to Little Known Facts with my favorite person on the planet, Alana Levine.
A-OK.
Welcome to Little Known Facts, a podcast where you will hear unfiltered, raw, honest, and uniquely funny interviews with artists you love as they talk about the art they love to make. I'm your host, Ilana Levine.
Hey, I heard you needed inspiration. Here's Ilana and friends with some revelations. Little known fact of the day. Every little thing's gonna be A-OK.
Hey everyone, new episodes of Little Known Facts drop every Monday and you can find them on your favorite podcast provider. Also, if you go to the website, littleknownfactspodcast.com, you'll find behind the scenes photos, videos, and interviews and lots more on the gallery page. And if you are loving these intimate, candid conversations with all the artists who come on the show, please head over to the contributions page. I depend on these donations to continue to bring you these interviews every week. So if you love the show, please donate. Little known fact about my guest today. She was part of the historic Jump the Shark episode of Happy Days, which is an expression still used today. It originally referred to Fonzie jumping over a shark on water skis. She has since been part of television history by appearing on award-winning shows like Mad Men, Homeland, The Newsroom, Tremé, The Good Wife, and HBO's upcoming series Divorce. Welcome, Talia Balsam.
A-OK.
Hey everyone, my guest today is actress Talia Balsam, a woman who has had an extensive career on stage and film. She made her Broadway debut in the Neil Simon play Jake's Women, which happens to be where the two of us met many moons ago. She has appeared in over 30 films, 50 television shows, and just as many plays. But some standouts include On Film, In the Mood, All the King's Men, Mass Appeal, Trust Me, The Cake Eaters, The Whackness, Conviction, and No Strings Attached. TV credits include Happy Days, Taxi, Kent State, Calamity Jane, The Larry Sanders Show, Mad About You, Almost Perfect, Without a Trace, K Street, Tremé, Homeland, The Good Wife, and Newsroom. She was the maid of honor at my wedding, a role for which I have bestowed upon her many awards. And most listeners will know her as Mona Sterling, the wife of Roger Sterling, played by her real-life husband, John Slattery, on Mad Men. Most recently, she has been playing one of the best friends of Sarah Jessica Parker on the new HBO series, Divorce. Is that correct?
Oui.
Oui?
Yeah.
Which is a new show starring Sarah Jessica Parker and you and Thomas Hayden Church and
Molly Shannon and Tracy Letts.
Amazing. Are you allowed to talk about it a little bit and just tell us sort of the themes of the show and what interested you about it and what the experience was like in one breath?
So, no, I can't talk about it. I don't think I can talk about it. I can talk about it's coming on.
Can you tell us the premise?
Divorce, I think, speaks for itself.
Okay.
It's a comedy with tones of realistic issues go on in a marriage. And so Thomas Hayden Church and Sarah Jessica are a married couple. And Molly Shannon and Tracy Letts are a married couple. I feel like I'm giving, like, am I allowed to talk about this? I don't know.
I don't think you're saying anything that wasn't in the Hollywood Reporter the plot synopsis. Oh my God, you guys, there is someone here with an HBO security jacket on who just came and is escorting Talia Balsam out of the podcast clubhouse. That is so sad. I am so sorry. Well, you shot season one.
It was good.
Well, good.
But it is navigating your life with at a point in your life. You have children are involved, and so that it's not so, you know, clean.
Well, this must be something easy for you to do because you have a child, and once you were a child.
I was once a child.
You have a lot to draw on.
And my parents were divorced and married many times.
Let's talk about that because I don't know if people know. Talia's father is Martin Balsam, who won an Academy Award for 1,000 Clowns, but basically is in any famous movie.
Psycho,
12 Angry Men.
Yeah. Little Big Man. Catch 22.
Pelham.
Taking a Pelham 1, right. 2, 3.
Fourth,
personal favorite.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and I actually do, you know, he took me to that movie. I actually saw that movie with him and went into a theater with him, which was, I made it very, I think he really liked that movie. I would say he worked at a time in the film industry and, you know, on Broadway when it was very good to be a character actor and there was really interesting directors, filmmakers. And right. So he really had great advantage of working with really interesting people traveling, and he worked a lot in Italy, and he you know, I look at that as like a really interesting good
that is a
with
great career
options.
And your mom is Joyce Van Patten.
Yes.
And she comes from her own acting family dynasty, because your mom and her brother Dick Van Patten, who most people came to know and love, although he had a huge stage career starting at the age of 9, starred as the dad on Eight Is Enough.
With their beginnings and then their life in sort of the Broadway theater as children actors, and Shirley Booth and Montgomery Clift and all the people that they worked with, and Dickie had lived with the Lunts when they would rehearse. That part of their lives, which is sort of lesser known, and a huge part of it was, I think people knew Dickie, you know, when he was on TV and stuff, but they have a long history.
But it had gone way before, because your grandmother was like a full-on stage mother, like
completely.
Mama Rose. Did your mother and Dickie have other siblings that were also at the time put into show business?
No, they were the two from that marriage. And then my mother's father remarried and had 4 other children, and Tim Van Patten is one of those kids. So it gets
Tim
confusing.
Tim Van Patten was on The White Shadow as an actor as a kid, and now he's like a huge, you know, television producer,
absolutely,
director.
Boardwalk Empire. But my cousins, Dickie's kids, you know, they were all sort of known when they were teenagers in Tiger Beat.
I was thinking it's Vince, Nels, and
Jimmy.
And Jimmy Van Patten.
Right.
If reality television ran the world when you guys were growing up, the mm-hmm. way it does now, and makes celebrities out of people, they would be like the male Kardashians of their time.
Yeah.
Because everyone knew who they were, beautiful, blonde, Italian boys. They all played tennis.
Yeah.
Their dad was super famous. Their mom was this elegant Hollywood hostess.
And then Vincent was a professional tennis player.
Right.
I mean, and so there was also that on top of it.
And now he's married to Eileen Davidson, who stars on a reality show called The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I feel like my family, because there were a lot of marriages and different
parts. Well, how many marriages were there? How many times was your dad married and how many times was your mom married?
My dad was married 3 times and my mother was married 4 times. And so there's been in and out of my life many people and who did different facets of the business.
Was it inevitable that you joined the family circus? I mean, what was your memory of how acting was introduced to you as a career idea?
Well, my memory, my strongest one is, and this is where we sort of split, is I think my cousins were children actors, and that was embraced. But from my mother's point of view, that was not something she wanted me to do, to work while I was in high school. And so anything that I did, and my father also, they were like, you can study, but you're not going on auditions. You're not, you know, that is not going to happen. And for me, that was good. I wasn't a very extroverted
mm-hmm.
kid. I wasn't a kid who was in high school productions. I wasn't set that way. And
right.
So for me, it was more on the weekends I would get myself to the Strasberg Institute on a Saturday. I think I was just, it was just different for me.
So when you were growing up, I'm sort of picturing like some version of, I don't know, like people smoking and drinking and talking about politics and movies and plays. Sort of describe
more
LA at that time.
Some of LA was very threatening as a young girl and kind of being out there. And, you know, it was also because there's different time periods here. But for me, you know, in high school, having a car, driving
mm-hmm.
around, like
mm-hmm.
that was sort of great. But in my household, I think mostly because my mom had started a theater company in LA for New York actors, there was a lot of reading of scripts and in the living room. And that was when I was home for the summer.
Right.
What I would do is like watch a bunch of actors read scripts in a living room.
Were you jealous that the boys got to go off and be child actors? Did that look awesome to you?
I wasn't jealous. I don't think I was ready to do that. I think I used to like answer Vincent's fan mail or something.
That was like $2 an hour. That was a really good job.
I think that was free.
I think that you I think I have a signed 8x10 by him, and it's probably should compare handwriting. I bet that was yours.
I think it's mine. No, so, you know, that was, you know, they, I think they had a different experience of it, and I was in boarding school, so I wasn't really.
So how old were you when you started boarding school?
I was 11.
Oh, you were little?
Yeah.
You were like in
I was like 11 to 15.
Something.
Yeah, really.
Do you recommend that?
Because
I have a 12-year-old, and I'm really looking.
I would say
it ain't pretty at our house.
I have fond memories of Treehaven, but it's you know, my education was not it was not great there. But I had other things going for me, like being in the 4-H club, and barrel. I was a horse. I would ride horses and stuff. I was not doing that in L.A. And so things. I mean, I guess the point is things were a little up in the air for a kid my age, and that was probably a very good thing for me.
I don't know if people are aware, but Talia seems to go from iconic show to iconic show because Talia began her career working on shows like Happy Days and Cheers, like really long-lasting.
Is that a good thing? Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah. I don't know. What do you get recognized most, would you say?
I don't get recognized for anything.
I want to recognize you right now for being an amazing friend,
thank you,
woman, activist, and person.
Yes, I appreciate that, Alana Levine. I quietly studied acting on my own and kind of—
In secret.
In secret. It seemed like a secret.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember your first audition?
My first audition. Well, I remember for me, like, I had a first job on a movie of the week called Alexander, The Other Side of Dawn, starring Eve Plum.
Oh, my goodness.
But my first audition where I kind of really remember, you know, getting the job and was the three-part Happy Days.
That's amazing. Talk us through that a little bit.
No, nothing. I just read and then, you know, it was like, oh, it was a big deal for me. I was 18 years old or something and it was...
You got a three-parter.
Three-parter.
What was your part in Happy Days, and what was it like on this? Was it a happy set, Happy Days?
I was very green, as you can imagine, and Ron Howard was very, very sweet to me. I didn't know right, left. I had nothing. And
I think you're selling yourself short. I think you knew your right from your left.
I didn't know my camera right from my camera left.
Right.
So he was sweet, and they were all sweet, and that was, you know, became the Jump the Shark episode, which gets referred to a lot. I mean, when you talk about that now, they just, some of these jobs that I had that I learned so much from. But I think at that time, what I was trying to do is get experience. That was a good job to get. I got the job on Taxi, playing Jen. You know, those were good jobs to get for me.
Who were the actresses at the time that you knew that were part of your circle of girls auditioning?
Oh, I think at the time, I mean, this is a long time. You know, at the time, Rosanna Arquette, you know, we were sort of going up against each other. There was a lot of others, but she and I were friendly. Yeah, we were friends. The thing for me that was big was a movie called Kent State. It was like the first, not the first, but a mini series. And that was a huge job for me. And I was able to move to New York after I did that job. And that had a lot of cachet. Mm-hmm. And I played one of the four students. And so that was a big job for me. And sort of after that, I did a lot of movies of the week. But then I started to get films. And I got some, you know, indie films. And then In the Mood was sort of, I was probably 25 when I did that. To me, that meant a lot because I felt like my acting got better. And unfortunate because I don't think many people saw that movie. Dirty Dancing had come out at the exact same moment. And that was a huge, you know, thing. And that's a movie where I was like, you know, that was a great part. Then I got a better age. You know, then it just started to shift in my mid-20s. But I definitely, definitely had a very strong desire or bend or whatever it was to do theater. You know, I was always going back to New York.
It's so interesting to me. My father is a CPA and my mom is a teacher. So I never had any guidance, obviously, in terms of how to approach acting specifically. And I wonder, having both parents who were actors, what was their influence, if there was any, on how you approach acting?
I think that the sort of energy around taking it seriously, studying it, and, you know, it's not a lark, you know, it's like something you work at. And I think that definitely was passed on.
Maybe that work ethic started so early with your grandmother. I mean, what was it about your grandmother?
I think my grandmother, you know, wanted to be an actress. And it was around that time where, you know, go to California and, you know, all of that. But I think she also had beautiful blonde children. And I think knew a way to sort of access them into maybe having a different life. And she did. She absolutely did.
And your mom got married for the first time really young, right?
Yes, my mom was married at 16 or 17.
Which even then was, that scandalous?
It was a little bit scandalous. I think the story is that my mother was on the road in a play, and my grandmother said to an old family friend of ours who was also an actress, Mary Jackson, who was like a grandmother to me, please keep an eye on Joyce. And they were on the road, and the next thing my grandmother knew is my mother had eloped.
I guess Mary Jackson didn't do a good job keeping an eye on her.
You're a terrible guardian.
Happened. Was she married to an actor?
He was, I guess. I don't know what happened in those days. You know, like he came in and he acted for a little while, and then I don't understand how it worked. Then he married Joyce, but yeah, he was.
Did you ever think, okay, the one thing I'm not going to do is marry an actor?
I'd been in enough relationships in my life with actors where I thought maybe this, by the time I met John, maybe like being with an actor isn't what I should be doing. But he's so. Is the word atypical of that? That I think that just kind of...
Yeah, he seems more like a plumber.
Yeah, right?
I think of John Slattery.
I think of him, I think.
Let me think. He seems like a plumber.
Yeah.
Just the way he wears his pants so low like that.
He's going to love that,
He's
too.
So good with a wrench.
Yeah, he's really good at that.
I mean, if you want something done in your house, who are you going to call?
John Slattery.
Because you know what John Slattery has? The number of the person who can come fix the thing in your house.
He's got a good cell phone.
But he has a nice aesthetic. I would definitely call John Slattery if I wanted to
decorate.
I'm thinking of wallpaper. He'd be like, I'll be right over. There
is
such
a common bond, actually. We both like wallpaper.
I know. I like wallpaper, too.
I love it.
I know.
At that time, I mean, because I certainly hadn't thought about that before, but I think at that point in my life, I was like, maybe this, but you know, I don't know. I like actors. I think that you can kind of commiserate together in a good or bad way. Mm-hmm. So I didn't make any bold statements.
It's worked out. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Do you still audition?
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So,
do I still audition? Did you think I was going to say no? No.
Well, you could create whatever perception of yourself. Does anything come to mind for you?
I did audition for this play on Broadway, and for some reason I got it in my head that they were lying to me, that it wasn't an English accent, that it was Scottish.
Because they had all.
I just thought they don't get the difference. It's Scottish. So I go, I just thought, I'm taking my matters into my own hands. It's like, I don't believe them. So I go
in. I don't believe
in.
This writer knows what accent his character has, nor does the director who's been working on the play with him for 5 years.
So I walk in with, a really bad Scottish. It wasn't even like I went to I have a much better Scottish,
Not only do I have the idea, I'm fantastic at this.
Anyway, that went really badly.
So at what point during the audition when you're like, so I'm Talia, I this is Scottish, right?
I didn't lead with that. I just did it. And then I realized when I saw their faces, that I was like, this is English, right? Yeah. I said, I had this thing, and then I started backpedaling and then I had to leave because, that was ridiculous of me.
In your recollection of this story, do you think you finished the audition or did you walk
Unfortunately,
out?
Unfortunately, yes. I walked out and completely. That is humiliating yourself. But I sort of. Something I like about the fact that I even did that, which is weird. I don't know why I did that, but
you,
I just was had a strong conviction. And I just did that, and I'm so sorry.
So I have a question for you, just because you come from kind of growing up in a family that was so devoted to doing good work. They always went back to the theater, right?
Definitely.
Went back to the theater. Can you still learn lines? Do you have anxiety about learning
lines at this
point?
Yeah, but not less so for play, just because I feel like you can rehearse. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're...
Or you can write your lines down on the table. What about on Mad Men? Because I know that Matt Weiner, he wanted every word spoken exactly as it was on the page with very little room for improvisation or mistakes. Was that your experience when you did Mad Men?
But I believe in that. Like, I think the same when you do a play. I think, for me, the only time that it becomes improvisational is if you don't have time. On Mad Men, that was very relevant to do that.
Can you tell me how you got the job on Mad Men?
Oddly, I spent 7 years auditioning for Sopranos, and Matt was
in the
room.
Is that all you did for 7 years?
I feel I never got the job, but I would go. I would just be like,
you know what?
I'm going to go.
For 7 years, I didn't know where you were. I was like, why? Well, she's a terrible friend.
However many years they auditioned people in New York, I was...
Okay, so
there.
You auditioned a lot for the show Sopranos.
I auditioned a lot. I shouldn't say 7 years.
But a lot.
A lot.
Matt Weiner wrote for that show.
He was aware of me. I always felt like I did my best in those rooms.
You never used a Scottish accent.
Never used a Scottish accent. And so, this is sort of a testament to just showing up, I think. Because I think there, I think at some point maybe someone would have gone, you know what, they're probably never going to use me. Like, let's just forego that. But... I didn't. I was a fan of the show.
He remembered you, and you
were
impactful.
Yeah, I feel like he clocked me. So time went by, and then there was conversation with John Slattery about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Matt asked to have dinner with John, with Timmy and Wendy Van Patten. And
so by the time you had this dinner that you're talking about, John Slattery had been cast as Roger Sterling.
I don't know that he had. There was still this pilot, and Matt... He wanted John for Roger, and he said, there's a part of his wife, somewhere down the line, I'm thinking of you.
He said that to you.
He said that to me.
And unlike a lot of people who say these kinds of things, he actually did it.
It happened. They made a pilot. Then the pilots, there's so many things that happen in such a fortuitous way for that show. So, yeah, I heard what Matt said. By the time that came around... I was like, sure, absolutely. Why wouldn't I?
Isn't it nice after all these years to finally just be able to talk about something out loud without fear of, someone coming with a muzzle?
Scared? No, well, because of social
media. How about
media?
Woody Allen? Woody Allen, no one gets to see a script until they're literally on the set. And then they take the blindfold off the actor and the hood off the,
I think
them out of the dark warehouse and let them, all right, now go act.
I think that happened. I think my father was supposed to do a Woody Allen movie.
Oh, my God. If your dad saw the way scripts are delivered now with, our names on them and basically security guards standing there while you read it. Well, anyway, I just want to tell you how excited we all are about watching you and the show Divorce on HBO. And, Tal, I just want to say thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. I just turned you off.
Clouds can make the wind blow.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you want more information about my guests, go to the website littleknownfactspodcast.com. I also wanted to tell you that there is now a new addition to the website. It is a button that says contributions. This podcast is a true labor of love, and I really, really want to keep doing it for a long time. So if you like listening as much as I love to do it, please feel free to contribute. It would mean the world to me. Also, on Twitter, you can find me at Alana Levine. Instagram is Little Known Facts Podcast. And on Facebook, Little Known Facts Podcast. You can also feel free to rate and review the show on the iTunes show page. This podcast is recorded at Hangar Studios in New York City. Thanks for listening.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.